Well, hello, and thank you for joining us today. I am Mindy McNeil, community reporter for KUVO, and on September 5th, there will be Dinner Under the Stars. Now, this is going to be a Denver Food and Wine event, and it's going to feature chefs Troy Gard of Tag Restaurant Group, and also we have in studio with us today, I have Chef Pedro. He is from Peru, and he has a restaurant in Peru, and it's called Malabar?
Yes.
Okay, great. And so welcome, Chef, So welcome, Chef Pedro.
Thank you, Mindy.
And your assistant is here, your lovely assistant, Miss Marta. And you're with Canopy Bridge, is that correct?
Correct.
Great. Well, thank you both for being here. And Chef Pedro and I were talking just a little bit beforehand because Love Peruvian Food was telling about a place that I used to frequent a lot when I was in L.A. for a while, so it was really good. I loved it. But also, too, I've done a little research on you, and you graduated. You went to the Culinary Institute of New York.
Yes.
Okay, and I stumbled across that because one year, my goal was to visit all 50 states in America. And so I would drive my car, you know, from here, you know, to L.A., you know, all these different places, and I traveled. Well, one of the places I went to was I was trying to see all the presidential libraries. So I stopped in Hyde Park, New York, and I didn't even know that the Culinary Institute was there. Went, had one of the best meals prepared by the students. It was duck, and it was just amazing. And I thought, oh my gosh, I mean, just in the facilities are just amazing. I was actually, before you came, I was going through my phone to see if I could find all my old pictures because it was a beautiful campus. And so, how long ago were you there?
Oh, you are making me feel old. But I think it's
a couple years ago.
Yeah, like 20. But it was a great school. It was a great school, and it's the best one, no? And it was a great experience for me. Great.
So, what made you decide to get into the culinary world?
I have no clue. Well, I grew up near the ocean,
okay.
So I like fishing and spear fishing. And also we had a farm 30 minutes from our house in Lima. I'm from Lima. I was born in Lima and raised in Lima. So I think the farm, the growing near the ocean, we had also a butchery shop. My dad used to have a butchery shop. So when I was 12, 13, 15, I don't remember exactly how old I was, but I used to go after school and play in the butcher shop, you know, like with knife and stuff like that. So I received knives as a present for Christmas before knowing I was going to become a chef. So
oh, wow.
Imagine that. No, but I don't know. Things got me into the kitchen.
Well, that's good, because to give a young boy some knives and say, go at it, I mean, you made the right choice. You went down the right path, so yeah. That's really good. But I am, you mentioned the word farm, and I had a friend when I was living in California, and when I first heard about the Culinary Institute of America, we went to the one in Napa, because she's a chef. She's a chef in San Diego now, but she was very much into farm to table. But you are rainforest to table, and I have never heard of that. Farm to table I'm familiar with. Really kind of confused, so if you could explain to myself and our listeners, what is rainforest to table?
Okay, I'll do my best. But okay. Yeah, it's a new movement that we are trying to build, that we create in order to give value to rainforest product, rainforest culture, and gastronomy. So the thing is that the 9 countries that share this territory, the Amazon forest, they all live without knowing, they lived for so long without knowing what they have in the Amazon. What are the cultures that are living there, the people that are living there, what they like, how they live, how they eat, no? So we say in Peru and in South America, we are always living like giving, we are not watching the Amazon. We are not taking care of it, and we are actually not making the effort to know the people in there and their culture. So I think this movement, what it really is trying to put value to the food in the Amazon. And also, and it is very important, because we local people always understand that the value in the forest is the wood, maybe the gas or minerals or whatever. Mm-hmm. But we think that through food we can give another meaning to the forest and really give these people a new way of seeing their territory and their culture. You know, giving value to the food changed their lives.
Okay.
Okay. And also, they can get a better income through food than through wood or through minerals. You know? So this is something that is starting to change the way Latin America is seeing food also.
Okay.
I think it would change the whole world gastronomy scene, because we are talking about a new pantry, we are talking about new techniques of cooking, and of course, we're talking about flavor. And this is something that connects us with Central America, the Caribbean, and of course, whole Latin America, no? But this is something very, very big that we think it's gonna get into.
Well, yeah. New frontier.
The exactly. New frontier, yes, there we go. And I like that, because you're speaking of flavor, and I know we talked just a few minutes ago before, you know, before we did the recording, and we were talking, Marta, just about how just like it seems like food connects,
yeah.
You know, and to me, flavor, like I love heat, you know, I love the spice, I love heat. I don't like it so much that it drowns out the flavor of food, but I love heat, but I also just love flavor. And I think that's one of the things that I've said this, that if I find a particular dish at a restaurant that just speaks to me and it just captivates my taste buds, I go back to it time and time again. So, nice. You know, and for you, Chef Pedro, you know, I read somewhere that, you know, you're known for basically like finding ingredients that are maybe what more specific to the Peruvian Amazon. Is that correct?
Or? Yeah. But because, you know, when we started like 17 years ago in Lima, these ingredients were totally unknown. There were strange ingredients from local people. So that's the beginning. But nowadays, of course, after a gastronomic boom that we have in Peru and the work that we've been doing for the last 10 years,
okay.
Already Lima knows more about the ingredients, and they are not any more strange ingredients for them. Okay, but this is how I caught the attention of journalists, because I was using ingredients that were unknown for Latin America and for Peru, of course, no? So that's the beginning. But nowadays, we are more into working directly with producers or local communities and indigenous communities. Mm-hmm. So that also changed a little bit the way we are working, and of course, the way we are thinking.
Okay, so some of the things that I've read or heard is that you use algae.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I think we were 15 years ago, the first one, the crazy guys that were bringing new products to the scene in Lima, no, to okay. The gastronomy scene. So, of course, we got the attention of a lot of people and journalists about what we were serving, no?
Seaweeds and
we were crazy. We were like, we have, Peru and Latin America is super biodiverse, no? You got Colombia, Venezuela, Brazil, with a diversity that we haven't much pay attention to it. Okay. No, we are in the beginning, and there's it's a lot of ingredients that are, mm-hmm. they're gonna be very, how to say, they have a lot of potential in cuisine and gastronomy.
So no? Guinea pig?
No, guinea pig okay. is amazing. It's okay. my favorite meat.
Okay,
I don't want to go into that, but it's my favorite meat.
No, that's okay, because I'm like, my pet. But then,
no.
But I think as Americans, we just are so used to the chicken and the beef and the shrimp, you know, or the seafood or whatever. So, but then you leave America, you know, and then you get exposed to so many different things. So you're like, oh, it's great. You know, you're great. And other people are like, oh my gosh, how do you, you know, but so what kind, where would you put that in? Like, you could make like a guinea pig burger, right?
Well, but guinea pig, actually, it's, it started in Ecuador. Okay. Ecuadorians are the number one producers of guinea pig.
Okay.
Okay, but it's a staple ingredient for Andean communities in South America. So you got from Colombia all the way to Chile, mm-hmm. people eat guinea pig for in a very traditional way. And it's actually it's a protein that has a lot of very nutritious and also very healthy. Okay. And
Low fat.
Okay.
But it's amazingly flavorful. You know how flavorful it is. It's crazy. So, but I don't want to get into guinea pig.
No, that's okay. Like I just want to because
I'm start to salivating also.
No, I'm
feeling
making
hungry.
You hungry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's.
But you mentioned something that I think is really important about the the sort of the joy of flavor. Mm-hmm. And for you, you said you want a little kick into it.
Yes.
So our movement is called Kumari, which means the fashion of flavor, the joy, the passion of flavor. And that's something that in Portuguese is actually a hot pepper. Which is wonderful, and we want to highlight that. That is the passion of flavor. So we want to talk about it in terms of Pedro's coming at it from the gastronomy perspective. I'm coming at it from the conservation perspective. So Canopy Bridge aims to highlight that we don't need to talk about the rainforest being burnt, about deforestation, but rather about the flavors that come from the rainforest, about the beauty, the colors, the cultures that are in the Amazon, and how we want to highlight that. And that's the beauty of food. Food picks you up, perks you up, and calls your attention.
And yeah, and I think it also bonds people, you know, because I think when you get together, you have an event at somebody's house, where are you seeing the majority of the people? They're standing in the dining room, or they're in the kitchen, they're around the food. So I feel like it creates that family in that sense, in that community, you know. And
it's a universal value, right?
It really is.
Food is capable to change the world, okay? This is important to understand. And we are changing these people's life because they are feeling proud of what they have, of what they are. They never feel proud before. Mm. All the governments in South America never pay attention to the forest, okay, and the people in the forest. So by bringing the food to the world, the Amazonian cuisine and food to the world, I think we're going to be able to make these people feel proud and value what they are and how they live and what they eat. And this is the most important thing, you know? Well, the most important, and we are getting amazing ingredients with a lot of flavor. And the chilies, of course, they put some heat into your plate, but also, and this is very important, they put flavor and aroma in your dish. Okay, aroma.
Yeah. That's where it starts.
Amazonian chilies are super, super aromatic. Mm-hmm. They are crazy. They're amazing. Amazing, amazing. If you plant the same chili in California, for example, that, you know, it has a good weather, they don't grow the same. They don't have the same aroma, and the heat is different, and the flavor is different. So there's terroir in these ingredients, and they have to come from the Amazon, and they have to come in a, you know, sustainable way. And, of course, they give a lot of value to these people, no?
So is it, okay, you were just saying, so something that could be produced in Peru could not be produced the same here or in California or wherever. Is this because of the climate? Because when I think of the rainforest, I think tropical, but with humidity and different things like that. Am I off base?
You're right.
Because I've never been, so I'm eating the food.
Well, what's cool about all this is that we can talk about these stories, right? In an interesting way, you as a storyteller know that the flavors behind these issues, there's also stories behind these issues. There's people that are, and traditionally, a lot of these cultures have had these chakras or agroforestry systems, which means that you mix trees and plants. And when you walk into these farms, nobody like understands what there is. The basis is this like rumple and mixture of stuff, but the basis is manioc, the yucca root that you may have heard about. And it's this wonderful root that it's also used in Africa. It's used all over the world. There's dependence of
Central America and Caribbean. It's a staple ingredient for these cultures. And it's extremely, versatile, and it will get into the world market soon because it's a great ingredient. And the flowers that are made in Brazil with the yucca are amazing, are crazy.
And there's all kinds of range from one that are bitter and some that are very sweet, and you can do all kinds of things with it. It has fiber and it has no gluten. So this is when you get into the whole superfood thing, right? So it's definitely the power of finding these things and understanding the cultures behind them, who traditional have used this for lots of time, you know, thousands of years. And so it's really important to highlight the cultures behind these foods.
Now, I know with the event that's coming up with Chef Troy, you are going to be flying in food from Peru, okay? And these are going to be some foods that Americans have never tasted before, okay? And so the event is the Dinner Under the Stars, and I want to ask why, okay, so and I'm not trying to sound like snobby American, why don't you use our food? But what is this? Like, what is there? Are these specific foods that are coming straight from the rainforest? I mean, I know you probably can't give like all the dishes, but could you give us like a little sample of something that's going to be?
Of course, okay. Of course. And these are some of these ingredients, the best things, and they come with from projects that we are now managing. And for example, we work with 32 fishermen. Okay. In an area that is a national reserve in Peru. And they are managing a fish. It's the second largest freshwater fish in the world. The first one is sturgeon beluga. And the second one is arapaima gigas. That's a scientific name for paiche. So paiche, you know, in Denver there's paiche. There's people that use paiche now. You find paiche in Whole Foods. But this is an awesome, very versatile fish. And this resource is managed by these 32 or 36 fishermen. I don't remember exactly how many fishermen, but they've been doing this for 15 years. So okay. They recuperate the area, the ecosystem around it, and now they're harvesting in a super sustainable way wild paiche. I mean, they don't give processed food to that, so it's super healthy, nutritious, and also keep the forest in an very balanced ecosystem.
Okay.
So this is important, super important. So we are working with this project, and we're going to bring the paiche in different ways. We're going to cold smoke it. We already cold smoking it, and it's fantastic. It looks like a ham, like a prosciutto. Depends on which part of the fish you cold smoke. But, yeah, and we process the whole fish, no, the skin and the interiors, and it's amazing. So we're going to bring that. We're going to bring also a very interesting sauce that I think is going to get into the market soon, because it's not only produced in Peru, it's produced in Colombia, in Venezuela, in Dominican Republic, and the name changes, of course, where it comes. In Venezuela, it's called Catara.
All right.
In Dominican Republic, it's called Caserip, and in Colombia, it's called Aji Negro. In Brazil, Tucupi Preto.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, so this is a fermented yuca juice without the starch and reduced until you have a thick sauce with a kind of a brown consistency, like, almost like a miso or a soy,
right,
or a soy sauce. And it adds flavor to your food. And this is amazing because we are always looking many ways to give flavor to your food. No? You know this term umami. So giving umami to your food or making food with umami flavor is very important for cooks. And this sauce helps to give you, to boost up, to kick up a little bit your food. Okay, so it gives you this kind of protein or meaty sensation. For example, for vegetarian dishes, is amazing. And because it's a vegetable sauce, of course. And also for protein, like combining it with protein, like with fish and meat.
Okay.
It brings up the flavor a lot. So it's a very interesting sauce that is going to go into the market. So we have a project with almost 28 women that produce this sauce for us.
Oh my gosh.
This is an indigenous community called Bora, the Boras and Huitotos. They come from Colombia. These communities work with this poisonous yuca. So all this sauce is made with poisonous or bitter yuca. This is all the way from the Caribbean to Ecuador and Peru, in Brazil. So this is very important because we are connected through that ingredient and that flavor too. So this sauce is going to be present on this dinner. You cannot miss it because it's going to be amazing. And of course, we're going to bring a lot of other products and ingredients.
And this is going to be at the Blanc restaurant?
It's going to be the Blanc restaurant, yeah.
Blanc restaurant, okay. And it's going to benefit the forest trends, is that correct?
The idea is that we are being supported, Forest Trends and Canopy Bridge, to be able to support these indigenous communities and their projects, the Paiche project, and as well as the Aji Negro, this incredible sauce. We are bottling, we're marketing, and that entails a whole preparation and work with the communities that the restaurant can be involved all the time. So the idea is that we facilitate the process and collaborate with Pedro to get these products to market.
So this is going to be a 6-course meal. Okay, I love to eat, but can you describe what is 6 courses? What is each course? I know there's the appetizer and then the main dish and the dessert. That's all I'm ever familiar with.
Well, we're gonna slide some other appetizers in there and a couple of other entrees. But yeah, the thing is, why six? Because we want you to try at least more than two or three dishes, no?
Exactly.
So we want you to get the whole experience, not the whole experience, a good idea, an experience that for you to taste different ingredients and, of course, the flavors of the Amazon. So that's why we put six courses, right?
Okay.
In order you to taste more than a few dishes that usually we do, no?
More memorable.
More.
Of course.
More memorable.
More memorable. Okay, and so a few other questions, though, that I do have from this because, okay, Chef Troy is here. He's in Colorado. You're in Peru. How did a Peruvian and a Coloradan chef, how did you all come together to help the Colorado Restaurant Foundation do dinner?
Yeah, this is interesting because we were talking yesterday with Troy, and the thing is that Troy used to work in Hawaii for a long time and also Southeast Asia. Now, Hawaii has a lot of ingredients that are related to the Amazon. This is something that you have to look up. As US, you have to look for Hawaii because there are ingredients that are amazing. For example, you have, taro root.
Yes.
Of course, taro root is a staple ingredient for Hawaiians. And they make this fermented, beverage. I don't remember the name, but it's fermented taro root. And they drink it. Well, in Peru, we have the same one, but instead of using taro, that they use it also, it's called pituca. Okay? Instead of using pituca, we use yuca. And we ferment it the same way. Somehow, because of the territory, the climate, and the ingredients that we found in this area, in these areas, in these countries, we come up with the same ingredient, with the same dishes and preparations and techniques. And also happens the same with Southeast Asia. So Troy knows these flavors, know how to handle these ingredients, and I think we're going to have a lot of sharing there and learning from each other, no?
So will it, okay, so I start my appetizer with something from you.
Of course.
Then I maybe have a side dish or a side salad or something from Chef Troy.
Exactly.
And then do I switch to, okay, so this is how it would go. So it's not going to be just a straight meal from Chef Troy and then a straight meal just from you. Or will
no.
it be, it's
no,
going to be a combination of both.
Exactly.
I like that.
That's
okay.
Amazing.
And you're making me wait until September. Shame on you. Okay. So how did you and Chef Troy, was it the Colorado Restaurant Foundation that put you both together, or did you know each other beforehand?
No. The Colorado Restaurant Foundation did this, and we appreciate that, and we are looking forward to know more about Chef Troy and working with him. But yes, this is something that put up together with Colorado Restaurant Foundation, with Forest Trends Canopy Bridge, no?
Recently, we did a fundraising event of where a lot of Coloradans, citizens came to visit mm-hmm. the Amazon. So we actually were in the Amazon with Pedro, where the people got to see the Paiche Project, got to see where some of the farms, and got to see where these magic sauce comes from. Wow. And so we were connected to the foundation
okay.
and have now been interested in bringing it for the food and wine. You know, as the festival continues to grow and expand, it has to go beyond the Colorado borders.
Beyond the borders. Okay. No,
so that's just like farm to table now, it's rainforest to table. And we invite people to think about learning about all the cultural and, you know, conservation values from wonderful food.
But I would like to say something. People is now more aware of what they are eating, what they are putting into their mouth. And this is important to get more information and to learn more about it. And talking about information, you mentioned quinoa.
Mm-hmm,
and
yeah.
Quinoa is very important because nowadays we are growing quinoa all over the world. But the difference between the quinoa from the world, let's say that, and the quinoa from the altiplano, from the high Andes, is that over there we have more radiation. And the plant, okay, in a natural way, they need to build up resistance to the radiation. So quinoa grown in high altitude, we mean 4,000 feet meters over sea level.
Okay.
That's like 12,000 feet.
Yeah.
Wow. Has more nutrients, has the complete nutrients,
okay.
antioxidants and everything. The one, and also they are organic, naturally organic. So the ones that you grow around the world where I would say it's a massive production, they use, okay, chemicals
mm-hmm.
and pesticides to put up quinoa. And it doesn't have the same amount of nutrients. So this is important to understand for the whole food world, no? Where they come from, why they were traditional produce or plant over there, and why become a staple ingredient or dish in that area. Why? So we always have to ask why.
Why?
And the big issue is soil, terroir, right? We want to strengthen those value chains that come from the specific areas so that these people have alternatives for their livelihoods.
Wow. Okay. Well, no, and then that's good because, once again, thinking outside the box.
Yeah.
So I have a question, though, because it has been said that you represent the new gastronomic revolution. So, we're putting a label on you. Here we go.
Don't get nervous.
But my question is, what does that mean, gastronomic? What is that? You know what I'm saying? Like, I can tell you psychology, anatomy, what gastronomy. What does that mean in terms of what you're doing as far as food preparation and everything else?
For me, it's enjoying food. No, it's celebrating food. It's all about.
And using more sophisticated techniques to make food.
Not really, because it's about enjoying food. Yeah. It's about knowledge around food, okay? That's gastronomy. Because when we talk about gastronomy, we are not talking about nourishing ourselves. No, because we eat because we get nourished. No, you say no?
Yeah.
But also we eat because we enjoy food.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so gastronomy is the way we enjoy food, no, the joy around food. That's gastronomy.
The joy around food, okay.
When we talk about Amazonian gastronomy, we talk about that. We talk about the culture around it, why they have this way of eating and preparing their foods, mm-hmm. and how people enjoy foods over there, and how also they I don't know, it's the word is react in your body, but how affects your body,
yeah.
and your wellness.
Okay.
So this is very important because this is something. Also very interesting, I'm going to tell you. In the Amazon, the people live over there in a well-balanced life, okay? They are connected to nature. That's what we are looking nowadays in the main cities, okay? They have a very balanced diet. They have protein, they have fruits, they have roots and vegetables. And also, they are very connected in a spiritual way to the forest and to their ancestors and the way they live. And this is fantastic because that's where we are looking nowadays. Nowadays, because of the hard working and daily routine and the stress and all those things that we as citizens are affected by or we encounter with, these guys are living in a very balanced way, and we need to learn from them.
Okay,
and we always think that these people are at least in our countries.
Mm-hmm.
Our governments, they thought always that these people are very poor.
Primitive.
In all the ways, and they are not. They are very knowledgeable people. And they lived for a long time the way we are now searching, the way we want to live now. No, so this is important. I don't know if I...
You answered.
I explained it well, but the thing is fantastic to understand this part of Amazonian food. No.
Well, and I think, because the other thing, because I know we're going to... We'll wind this down in just a minute, but the other thing I wanted to say is because when I think of farm to table, I always think fresh. So rainforest to table, same thing, nice and fresh. Or
mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, nowadays there are also some labels that are, you know, you will see around that is 0 kilometers, no, and you know, basically consume local mm-hmm. or what you have around. But I think that depends on the state, on the nation, on the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if I will apply that concept into rainforest gastronomy, they will still be
very far.
No. And also, like, they will be still living the way they were or they are, like people not paying attention or not valuing their culture. So I think in some way what we are doing is by making this cuisine known, and we don't want to make it popular, but at least people be aware of it,
mm-hmm.
and some ingredients are going to go into the market. We're going to see what ingredients are good for traveling and arrived in a good quality.
Okay,
and which are the ones that have to stay and you have to fly to the Amazon to know them?
Exactly, because the idea is to work with the seasons.
Okay,
and there are even seasons in the Amazon where there's part of the year where you'll have lots of fruits of all kinds. Mm. So that's the time where we can make pulps out of those fruits, and that becomes a way of the communities to have income for, you know, a certain part of the year. But the idea is to be very sustainable, give alternatives.
You don't
know
the fruits that we have. It's amazing. And you talked about super fruits or super foods. In the Amazon, you have like, I don't know, 20 types of fruits that they are all into this category because how they react in your body, how makes you know how wealthy makes you know.
Fishes, you're talking about more than 3,000 species of fish.
It's crazy. Is that how you? I know you've made tuna brulee before. Is that one of your
With a fruit called cocona.
Okay.
Cocona is a solanacea. It's family of tomatoes and eggplants. It looks like an eggplant outside, but yellow, totally yellow. And the inside also a little bit like an eggplant. But the taste, it's sweet and sour, more sour than sweet. And it is used to make salsas, chili salsas in the Amazon, in Peruvian Amazon. So it's the chili salsa of the Amazon, the cocona. It's amazing. It's crazy. So we made that tuna brulee with these coconuts, sort of sauce or salsa, no? It was great. We don't make it anymore, but we used to make it.
Well, I have to say that, Chef Pedro, no offense, but I can't speak to you anymore because you're really getting me hungry. And if you're listening and you want to take part of this, this is going to be on September 5th. It's part of the Colorado Restaurant Foundation. DenverFoodandWine.com is where you can go to get tickets. Chef Pedro will be there. Chef Troy Gard will be there. We want you to be there as well. And that, once again, is going to be on September 5th at 6:30, and you can get your tickets at denverfoodandwine.com. Marta, Chef Pedro, thank you so much for stopping
by.
Thank you,
Mindy. Thank you for having us.
All the radio listeners. Don't miss it.